today I get to introduce our guest speakers today, and you have some information there. Hopefully you've got it on your way in about Tom and Sherry Cahill. They are have served with Free Methodist World Missions in Kenya and are now going full as full extended term career missionaries to Tanzania, and are on their way to completing their fundraising efforts, and have been traveling about to various churches this summer and visiting with congregations and raising support through prayer and finances. And it was a delight for our family to visit with them last evening and to hear more about a lot that we have in common, because I have been to Kenya a couple of times and we know a lot of the same people and have taught in the same schools. And so we hit it off right away. And I was just so blessed that Tom and Sherry are willing to come and share with us this morning. And I want to give them as much time as possible as we cook here in the sun. So just imagine you're sitting out in the savannah in Tanzania somewhere and enjoy hearing about what God is doing in East Africa. Tom and Sherry.
Bwana asifiwe. Bwana asifiwe tena. Tuna furahi kuhapaleo. Katika Toledo. That says praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again. We're happy to be here today in Toledo. And we are. We're very happy to be here. Holland. We're in Holland. Yeah, I saw Toledo. I don't know.
You anyway. Saw a sign on the way said Toledo. She's still there.
We go so many places. So we are very happy to be here. Our motto for our ministry is found in Proverbs 9:9. If you'd like to look that up at some point. I believe it's also on our prayer cards. Maybe not on these. It's not. But it says this, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. What we do is called leadership development and discipleship. So as Pastor said, we train leaders and pastors, those who are interested in learning more to grow deeper into God's word and to learn deeper how to study the Bible and so forth. Then they can carry that out further to their congregations and their groups and tribes all throughout the country. And God will continue to bless them as they reach out and reach to the lost. Now, a little bit about ourselves. We have three adult children. Our oldest son is John, his wife is Jocelyn, and our first grandchild, Todd, and they live in New Hampshire. We've seen them only a couple times. Todd's a little over a year old now. And our second child is a daughter, Caitlin. She is engaged to Daniel. Katie and Daniel live in Wisconsin, and they're getting married, hopefully, August 15th. And our third child is James. He's the youngest. He is married to Michelle. James and Michelle live in Wisconsin, and he's continuing his studies. And that's also our home base with our youngest son there. So, habari ya asubuhi. Anybody know what that means? Do you remember what that might mean from being in Kenya? No, probably not. I won't put you on the spot. Well, that means, what's the news of the morning? So today, we're going to learn some Swahili. Are you guys ready? Okay, I see a couple. Some of you are still drinking coffee or whatever. That's okay. So we're gonna, on the count of three, we're going to say habari ya asubuhi. Okay? One, two, three. Habari ya asubuhi. Great. You guys are very good with Swahili.
So here's some other information. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. How many remember the movie The Lion King?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Got some takers. Now, here's your quiz. See, I'm an educator. I got to give quizzes. Right? Okay, so your first quiz is, what's the name of the male lion cub that grows up?
Simba.
Okay. What's the name of the warthog?
Timon.
Pumbaa, correct. What is the name of the monkey? Rafiki. Okay, and what does Pumbaa and Timon sing? Hakuna Matata. Right? Okay, so since you all said those words, you have spoken Swahili. Did you know that? You're speaking Swahili. Simba is Swahili for lion. Pumbaa is Swahili for warthog. And Rafiki is actually Swahili for friend. And Hakuna Matata is I do not have any worries, to put it in the English proper phrase, okay? I do not have any worries. Kuna is the word for have. the negative of that, you put the HA in front of it, so now it makes it negative, and it's Hakuna. So there you go. You just got a little bit of Swahili. You already knew it and didn't even know it.
We're off to a great start. Well, in Kenya, there are several things that we did. As Pastor said, we worked with the Springs of Hope Bible School. We also conducted discipleship studies, Bible studies. We did group meetings. We spoke at teen retreats, teachers retreats, and we did mentoring of the leadership. So there's a lot of different things that we did, and we were very tired when we came back. Okay, so Kenya, I don't know if you know where Kenya is at on the map, but as Tom says, it's in East Africa, and Tanzania is just south of of Kenya. And there's Lake Victoria. Some of you may have heard of Lake Victoria. There's a big lake that borders both of those countries. So the plan is to get to Tanzania, and Tom's going to share with you some more.
So a little bit about my call to go to Africa. So when I was in college, I kind of had a call to do work interculturally. A lot of my friends were missionary kids. A lot of my friends growing up were friends from other ethnic backgrounds and cultural backgrounds. Actually, a little tidbit, the church my dad was pastoring when I was born, we were the only white individuals there. Everybody else had other color tone skin, okay? So they were either African American or they were from Native American background, whatever, but we were the only white family there. My dad told me Grandma Moses used to watch me and take care of me, and that's where I get my sway. Because when I sing and I stand and I sing and it's got a beat to it, I do this. Okay? And everybody looks at me kind of funny, but it's just there. And my dad says I got it from Grandma Moses because she always sang to me when she watched me. But I've always been engaged in and had a desire to be engaged in cross-cultural type ministries. When I was working on my doctoral studies, I was doing research through Kenya, the Free Methodist Church in Kenya, on ministerial leadership development. And it was while I was doing that research and actually had got the information back, and I'm going through all the information and working on my small paper. Anybody that knows anything about doctoral work, you know it's not a small paper. But working on my paper, and as I was working on it, the Lord started speaking to me and started saying, okay, you have been engaged in leadership development, which I had, in some way, formally or informally, either teaching at universities as adjunct or working with MEG boards and working with people who have a call to ministry through the church. You've been working on a part-time basis doing this thing for many years. He says, now I want you to do it full-time. Because my youngest son was just getting ready to graduate high school, and he was saying, you need to go and make a move, and I want you to go to Africa. And I kind of stood there and I said, well, I was sitting there, and I kind of said, well, you need to talk to Sherry. Isn't that how it goes, guys? We don't do anything unless the wife tells us it's okay. Yeah, women, you can shake your head. You know it's true. But the story goes, and Sherry didn't share her story, but the story goes that the Lord was already speaking to her because she had a call to be a missionary when she was 13 years old. And so the Lord was already speaking to her about this change with James. And so when he graduated, that there's going to be a change in our life, and he told her, I want you to go to Africa. Okay? And so we're sitting there going, you know, Sherry's saying the same thing, but you better let Tom know. So when we finally sit down together and talk, we realized God was speaking to both of us. And that kind of what led us to start moving towards reaching out to Mike Ronan. Mike Ronan then said, well, you already did research in Kenya, and they need your help there, and we could use you there, and so why don't you plan on going there? And that's what led us to Kenya. While we were there, Mike was contacted by some leaders in Tanzania who were building a Bible college. They had a vision for a Bible school, a Bible college, to train pastors, because the last time Free Methodist pastors were trained in Tanzania was around 2008. And so they had this vision around 2011, 2012. They partnered with a church in Evart, Michigan. They purchased property. They built four buildings. And they had these buildings almost complete. And they said to Mike, what do we do next? We don't know what to do. And so Mike says, well, I got some people I want you to talk to. And so he reached out to Sherry and I and asked us to go down and meet with their board and speak with them, in which we did. And we tried to talk about what they wanted, how they wanted to do it, and how to set things up. And so we worked with them to set up a certificate in pastoral ministry and to begin their programming in the format that they wanted it done. And so they continued to work on things, and we continued to communicate with them via email until 2019, when they opened their doors for the very first time to train pastors, and they had 15 people show up to be trained. So we were excited, and we were there as part of that opening. In the fall of 2019, Mike had reached out to Sherry and I, asking us to go there and work with them on a full-time basis to help them get the school up and running and to help them develop a foundation. Our role is not to be director or principal. Our roles are to be consultants. We're kind of working with them. We're partnering with them. We're trying to give them the tools and what they need in order to be able to run the school, develop the school, have quality a training program, and to teach the people. We also will be teaching while we're there. We also will be going and doing some seminars like we did in Kenya, traveling out to various areas. Tanzania is twice the size territory-wise as Kenya, so we won't be traveling quite as much, but we will be doing some traveling and doing some training at that. Acts 1:4 says this, or 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Many of you have read that. Now, try to take the end of the book of Luke and go directly into the book of Acts. You know why? Because originally, when Dr. Luke wrote Acts, the book of Luke, what we call the book of Luke, and what we call the book of Acts, he wrote them together, kind of as a history book for the early church. The first one I call, which is the book of Luke, I call the... Maybe I shouldn't call it that. I call it the life and times of Jesus, all right? And then the book of Acts we can call the launching of the early church, all right? So you have that. And so if you read the ending of Luke in the first chapter of Acts, you'll see that it kind of overlaps and ties together. But these are Jesus' last words. He's speaking to his disciples that are there with him before he ascends into heaven, and he's giving them instructions. These are kind of the last words. How many of you have ever done sports? Some of you done sports? How many of you have ever coached? Some of you have coached. I've done both. I've done sports. I remember when I played football, we had, we called him Carrot Top. He had red hair. But his name was Coach Primerman. Coach Primerman was a former NFL lineman football player with the New England Patriots. I was in Maine, and he was our coach. And boy, he would get up there, and just before the game, just before he were ready to launch out, he would give this fiery speech. Okay? Y'all know what those are like? I mean, if you have coaches, if you ever played on a team, the coach is trying to what? Give you the final instructions, right? He's trying to fire you up. He's trying to get you out there so you can do the job and do the work. And this is what Jesus was doing. And I don't think Jesus was just matter-of-factly going, "Okay, but when you receive power, the Holy Spirit will come upon you." I don't think Jesus is kind of talking like dopey. I think Jesus is giving a powerful statement to his disciples because he's passing the mantle. You ever see track? Anybody ever watch track? You ever watch the relays? When they got to pass the mantle, right? It's tricky. It's tricky to pass the mantle. Even they make mistakes at the Olympics. But Jesus is passing the mantle to his disciples. And he's giving them this instruction. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit. So what's that mean? You need to wait until the Holy Spirit enables you and empowers you. Thankfully, we don't have to wait. He's here. We just have to receive it. Amen? Honk the horns. There we go. Okay. Yeah. See, in Swahili, you could say Amina. All right? So everybody say amen in Swahili. Amina. Amina. But the cars, they don't speak Swahili. That's all the same language. Okay? It's all beep, beep, beep. All right? So you have this message coming from Jesus, and he's telling his disciples, and he says, "You will be my witnesses." That's key. my witnesses. Now, how many of you, if you're ever in a court of law and you're the defendant, want a bad witness? Anybody? Again, any takers that want a bad witness for them? No. Jesus is anticipating that they're going to be what? Good witnesses, right? That's his hope. That's his desire. That's his plea. You will be my witnesses. You're going to be good witnesses. And he's trusting them. He already has put the trust in them. He already believes in them that they are going to be a good witness for him. And then he goes on, and it's going to be in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He doesn't put periods, and he doesn't say you can choose whether you go here, here, or here. He says you are to do it where? Everywhere, right? You're to do it locally. You're to do it regionally. You're to do it globally. You are to be my witnesses. I trust you to be my good witnesses. Whew. I don't know about you. It gets me excited. I'm almost getting like out in the savannah, you know? And so he trusts us to engage, and all of us are engaging in his ministry. I have had the opportunity to teach global missions for 16 years with Nazarene Bible College online. And the past 4 years, they've wanted me to focus on developing the missional church, which I've done. But I've been engaged in this understanding of what does it mean to be global in our outreach. And God calls some to reach out locally. God calls some to reach out regionally. God calls some to go and reach out to the rest of the world. But in order for all that to happen, we got to be together. Okay? We got to be together. It takes finances to run local, takes finances to run regional, and it takes finances to run global. It takes prayer for all those three to run too, right? Amina. Honk the horns. There we go. Okay. So we have this thing that God has called all of us to do. He's called the church to be part of, and we're in this together. Sherry and I pray for our partners. A lot of times we'll send out emails to those that are partnering with us, and we'll say, how can we pray for you? How can we engage to help you be successful in your work, in your kingdom? Because we want to not just receive, we want to give back as best we can. And so it is something that we look at, and we see the church being partners working together for God's kingdom and God's glory. It is estimated that 90 to 95% of all African church leaders have no or very little formal theological training. That is put out by Equipping Church Leaders of East Africa. It's also put out by African Leadership, as well as those other studies done that are around the same numbers. What that means is this. If you don't have deep knowledge of God's word, you don't get into it deeply. Okay? And therefore you can misunderstand some things. Or you just don't read some things. You don't study some things. And so our goal is to help those that are called to ministry, and even lay people that we come in contact with because they come to our seminars, help them understand scripture better and go deeper so they can be able to discern the difference. A lot of times in Africa, we have syncretism. That's a big word, and I'm going to explain that to you. It simply means this, the blending of two different beliefs, okay? So in Africa, you'll have people who are Christian, but they'll still go to the witch doctor to get healed. You'll have people who are Christian, but they'll still believe that witch doctors can curse them and they have more power than God does. Because they don't, not because they're trying to have feet in both centers, they just don't have enough knowledge to understand that God is more powerful than a witch doctor. Thank you. God is more powerful than a witch doctor. God is more powerful than the things that come against us if we allow him to give us the ability to overcome. Okay? And so we need to help them understand that. We need to help them understand that God is a God of love, and God is a personal God. He cares about their lives, because a lot of people see God as this God who's out there, and if you do the right things, he'll bless you. But if you don't do the right things, he's going to curse you. And the blessings come in monetary ways, but the cursings come in death and come in sickness and come in poorness. And so their understanding of God is not an understanding that the Bible teaches. It's really an understanding of what their African traditional religion teaches and defines as who is the supreme God. But because they were told, just get rid of the ancestors and you're okay, they still keep that definition of God, which is not a biblical. You follow me? And so we need to help them understand that this is the biblical understanding of who God is. This is how God operates. He does love you. He does care about you. He does want to be personal in your life. So that gives you just a slight example, a small example of what we want to help them do is go deeper in their understanding and knowledge of God and Scripture. Okay? Ever Bible School, I shared a little bit about you with that. And that has begun. They are ongoing. They've held 3 sessions. Part one they couldn't hold because of finances. The other one they couldn't hold because of COVID. We were supposed to go back in May and hold a class for them. Actually, 3 classes I was supposed to teach during May. However, we did not make it, as you can tell. We were hoping to go back in September. We're not going to make it, as you can tell. I'm sending curriculum over to them, and they're taking it, and you're going to use that. They're going to hold classes in August, and then use the curriculum that they have to be able to teach the courses. So the students invest in their own education. Most students don't have money. They don't have enough money to pay for their education. So what they did almost a year ago, is money was sent down to purchase lumber, and so they made their own desks. And they made the seats to their chairs. When I first went there in January 2019, they were using preschool benches. How many have ever seen preschool benches? How many have ever tried to sit in a preschool bench? Okay? They didn't have anything. So they borrowed these preschool benches, and the students were there hunkered down with little pads of paper, taking notes feverishly. They were just eating up what was being taught because they wanted to learn, but they didn't have anything. So money was sent over. It was raised and sent over for them to be able to have desks made, and they made their own desks. They all have a trade, right? So a lot of them are carpenters. So the ones that could make the desk, they did. Those that didn't have the skills to make it had the skills to sand. They had the skills to paint. And so they did that. So the desk, the tables for the dining hall and the desks and chairs that they were in were all made by the students. So they invested in their education. So they have an investment into it. And that's wonderful that they're able to do that. We also want it to be a place for transformation, hope, and reconciliation. We don't just want it to be a place of education. We want people to grow spiritually. We want them to be transformed spiritually. We want them to know that there's hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That Jesus can do things in our lives. Jesus wants to do things in our lives. He wants to change us. He wants us to be victorious in our lives and overcome sin and overcome things in our lives that he reveals to us and he enables us to do. And then he wants us to overcome, to be part of reconciliation. In all areas of the world, we have, we term it different terms. In Africa, we call it tribalism. Here in America, we call it racism. But it basically boils down to some type of prejudice, whether it's prejudice of skin color, whether it's prejudice of social structure and social status. You have it around the world, and you have it in Africa. Usually, it's between one tribe and another. One tribe thinks they're better than the other tribe, and they put the people down for the other tribe. Sometimes they say, I'm more important than you, and you're my enemy. And kids are brought up that way, and people brought up that way, and they have this division. And these people from these different tribes are going to have call to ministry, right? And they're going to come to the college. And so we want them to see each other not as their tribes or their culture has told them to see each other. We want them to see each other as Jesus sees them. Amen? We want them to see each other that Jesus sees them as one. Jesus sees them as equals. Jesus sees them as part of the kingdom of God, and they're in it together. And we want that to be a place where if reconciliation needs to happen, it can happen there, where they can reconcile with each other. They can forgive each other. They can pray with each other. They can worship with each other. They can minister with each other to the glory of God's kingdom. Amina.
Amen.
And so that is our prayer as well, that it becomes a place of reconciliation.
So at Everett Bible College, we'll be doing working specifically with them. Tom will be teaching a lot. I'll be teaching some, working with the administration, consulting with them, helping them to develop this school. Like Tom said, we'll also do some seminars throughout the country and retreats. We'll be mentoring leadership where we're living at and throughout the country, different areas. And then we're going to be doing Bible studies. One goal that we have is to teach English as a second language, and everybody in Tanzania wants to learn English. And so that's one of our things that we felt we could maybe do a Bible study and teach them English through that means. So those are some things we're going to do. We have some prayer needs for you to pray for today. You may want to jot them down. Maybe some of you are really good at remembering. But we want you to continue to pray for the believers in Kenya, that they will develop deep relationships with God and with their fellow believers. We want to pray you to pray for the Everett Bible College, we call it EBC, and that they will develop strong leaders there, that reconciliation will happen, and they will take this back to their tribes and to their churches, and they'll develop very strong churches. Pray for those churches that are being developed. Pray for there's new church plants happening all over the place. Pray that God will bring up strong leaders and pastors in those churches who desire to study God's Word. And then pray for our funding. A lot of people say, well, where are you at? Well, we're around 74%, I believe, of our annual commitments, which is what our headquarters looks at to get us to the field. And then we'll have some startup costs. So we're around 74%. We know as we get closer to the 80%, it's likely we could be released to the field, assuming we can get there and COVID's not stopping us. And so that's one of our things we would like for you to pray for. And then pray for prayer supporters. That's the most important thing for us, is to be in the center of God's will, to know and follow His leading. It's tough sometimes out there, as you've experienced, Pastor. The driving is very unsafe sometimes. There's different things, different dynamics there. We just want you to pray for us and our ministry throughout our time there. And some of you received you probably all received a prayer card that looks like this. If you can just take 30 seconds in a day and just lift us up to God, lift the ministries in Kenya and Tanzania to God, that would be really awesome, and I know He'll reward you. If you want to pray more than 30 seconds, that's even better. So thank you. I know some of you will. Amina, yes. On the back of these prayer cards, you'll see our website and email and some other information there. On our website, there are videos. There's information on our callings. There's all kinds of things, resources for you. You can make, there's a link to donate. There's a link to sign up for our prayer list. There's a link to sign up for our newsletter. So everything you can find there. You've also received a second card that looks like this. And this is about the Bible school. On the back of that card, there are some specific prayer needs for that. And there's a link on the very bottom of that card if you would choose to select to give scholarships to students attending the school. We have a table set up around the corner, and we have little magnets. And so if you're interested in a magnet, just as a reminder to pray for us, feel free to take those as well. As Tom said, I received a call to missions when I was 13 years old, and God has given us this opportunity, and we feel led by God to go there, but we can't do it alone. We need your help. So thank you so much for investing in lives around the world. Thank you for partnering with us.